Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light, and as we hit the heart of summer, that's great advice. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Andrew P. Shea today. We have with us Bobby Flounders. How you doing, Bob?
A pleasure to be here with you, sir. I miss Andy already, but I think we're going to get over it.
And a special guest for quarter number one, Ross the Boss is here. How about yourself, Ross?
How you I'm doing fantastic, and as I just noted, I am not missing Andrew Piché at all. Actually, I am, though, because it's fun to bust his chops when he messes up. Yeah. But you're kind of the boss that cuts the check.
What's gonna happen?
So I can't really make fun of you or bust your proverbial, you know what,
stones
when you mess up.
You could do it. It's just there's repercussions. That's all. All right. Well, we've got a full hour of Penn State football talk going for you, as usual, in quarter number one. We're going to go over some news and notes. Quarter number two, we get Ross's scouting report on two recent commits, Bryce Mostella and Tyler Warren. Each of them a bit interesting in their own way.
A lot of similarities between those guys, I would say. A lot of similarities.
All right. And in quarter number three, it's you, the audience, your chance to take over with your questions for Ross and Bob. And finally, in quarter number four, we're going back to something we talked about a few weeks ago when Ross was out. We did a, what would your advice be to James Franklin if you had his ear? And Ross missed that segment, and I'm so anxious to hear what he has to say. We're going to give Ross that opportunity
Let's give him that forum and not let him just roam. He's good at that.
I'm sure you have some good
advice. I think you're going to be really surprised by one piece of advice that I have.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, he caught us last week with the Jan Johnson freak thing, even though Jan is a physical specimen, but that definitely got us a little bit, too.
Yes, he did catch us off guard. I didn't see that one coming. We should have, though. We should have. Anyway, let's get started with the news. We're going to start with Big Ten Media Day. I'll direct this to you, Bobby, since you attend.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting. The representatives from Penn State are going to be.
Yeah, so it's Cam Brown, it's John Reed, and I believe it's Blake Gillikin. He usually tries to space them around offense, defense, special teams, and he went with two on defense. I guess he didn't feel that great about the offensive group or something came up. But, you know, usually the Big Ten media days are generally a formality, but the last couple of years, they can get a little interesting. I think it was the year before Penn State had their breakout in 2016. There was an issue with negative recruiting. A story came out, and James had allegedly talked about negative recruiting with regard to, I think, Ohio State and some other schools in the Big Ten, and that got everyone's attention. Some people got upset. So, and then last year, Urban Meyer, and the whole thing that eventually led to, I think that was kind of where it started with him and Zane Smith and what he knew, what he didn't know. So you just never know anymore what these characters are going to talk about. I could see John Reed and Gillikin being there. I'm real anxious to see Cam Brown kind of get maybe – this will be a chance for more people to kind of get to know him a little bit, more stories about him a little bit, and just see how he kind of handles it, because he's going to be in the spotlight, I think, this year if he takes a step forward. And this is a good forum for him to try and get used to kind of maybe being in the fishbowl.
Couple of thoughts. Number one, evidently, Urban Meyer is starting a podcast on like leadership and honesty and all this stuff.
Integrity.
It was unbelievable.
Is he teaching a class?
He's
teaching a class on those type things, ethics and so on.
It's unbelievable. I mean, let me just tell you, especially when he was at Florida, okay? I know stuff that other people don't know just by the nature of the circles I run in. And him having a podcast and teaching a class on those things is like unprecedented, like too good to be true.
Would it be wrong of me to say something to the effect, so you know where the bodies are buried in Florida?
Well, just look at University of Florida. Look at those guys mm-hmm. and the kind of human beings they were. They were all really good football players, but you go right down the line, like Percy Harvin and Riley Cooper and
Aaron Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez.
Let's not forget about him.
Yeah, well, I thought everybody already knew that one. Yeah. But you go down the line, and by the way, it was like their best players. I mean, those were their best players. I will say this as an aside. It's kind of unbelievable that they are able to win back-to-back national championships having that many bad eggs. You know, if you want to make the argument kind of like UNLV basketball back in the day that who really cares what these guys are like, just get talent. Florida winning back-to-back national championships with guys that wouldn't even show up for practice, were in trouble. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
He also had Tim Tebow. Let's not forget. If you're gonna throw stuff.
Totally balances so out.
He balanced the scales with one tremendously religious, no skeletons in the closet Heisman Trophy.
It's like when Miami used to play Notre Dame, it was Catholics versus convicts.
Yeah, yeah.
Florida was convicts and the Christian. You know, that was the name of that Florida era. So that was interesting to me. I don't understand why Penn State wouldn't have an offensive guy.
Yeah, I mean, if you just...
Don't you want to ask somebody offensive questions?
Usually, it's almost always a senior. It's almost always a fourth
Stephen
year
Stephen Gonzalez?
Stephen Gonzalez almost would be that guy. And maybe Stephen didn't want to go. Maybe he couldn't go. But this is the first year I can remember where there hasn't been.
Maybe they want Stephen to lose more weight and not go on the banquet circuit in Chicago and eat deep dish for a couple
years.
Well,
I know that he's lost a little bit of weight, judging by what we're going to talk about next, the updated roster with heights, weights for not only the veterans, but the freshmen that just got here.
Let's segue into that. That's a great segue. Thank you for bringing up Stephen Gonzalez.
I love that. By the way, I love when the new heights and weights come out.
Well, there you go. We were looking at this prior to the show. I'll open it up to you guys. You have the list in front of you. What strikes your eye?
First thing that strikes my eye is I really think that the battle to watch this year is the right guard battle between C.J. Thorpe and Miranda, and they both are looking like they're starting to get a little bit serious. C.J. Thorpe's dropped, it looks like, 8 pounds. He's down to 322, and Miranda has dropped 16 pounds. He's down to 295. I mean, to me, in my mind, Ross, they're both starting caliber, and I think that, to me, is maybe the most interesting battle of August, and I think both guys are trying to get in their best shape for what's about to happen.
So Thorpe losing 8 pounds, that makes sense. 330 to 322, I totally get that. You know, he doesn't need to be 330. I'm a little surprised Miranda would lose 16 pounds and go down to 295. That's a big drop. Most major college Big Ten offensive line coaches would want their guys probably to be at 3 to 310. Maybe he felt like he wasn't as athletic at 311, but down at 295 is a major move. And part of me wonders if that isn't A, athleticism, but B, to be able to be an effective center. If something happens to Michael Mennett, they might have said to him, because the heavier you are at center, the harder it is to accomplish some of those blocks. When somebody loses that much weight, that is intentional, right? Like someone told him to do that. And I wonder what the logic would have been by Lime Grove or whoever to tell him to lose 16 pounds. My guess is they want to make sure if he has to slide in the center, he can function there.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Ross, could it also be a case where when you have guys that size, is it first there's some bad weight there that he needs to get rid of before getting heavier?
That's possible, but he's already going to be a redshirt sophomore.
He should have lost it already.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and even if you do, Jim, it's like 5 pounds maybe. That's a lot. That's a big
number. You know,
there aren't many guys under 300 pounds on the offensive line in the Big Ten. There just aren't. So that was noticeable to me. The other one that really jumped out to me was Tariq Castro Fields gaining 16 pounds. When you go from 181, what was he, 181?
To almost 200.
To 196, that's a lot.
That's significant.
That's a lot. So that's also exponentially more than like a lineman going from 320 to 336. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. So there's a couple things there, right? Number one, He's going into his true junior year. He's very talented. Maybe he is just as locked in terms of eating and working out as he's ever been, thinking he has a chance to go pro after this year. And that's how his body reacted to him taking everything to the next level. You know, I remember when LeBron James started eating healthy to lose weight and he gained 20 pounds because he was finally eating like lean proteins and good stuff. And his body just turned it into muscle. Maybe that's it with Castro Fields. Let's hope it's that and not he got lazy or thinks he's already got it made in the shade. Either way, though, that would be a concern to me. 16 pounds. I mean, 16 pounds. Now, we also have to understand this. They're in college, so maybe when he was 181, maybe he just didn't eat for a couple of days. Maybe he was dehydrated or something, and he was really more like 185, 190. And maybe when he weighed at 197, maybe he had an awesome time the night before, and there's nothing wrong with that in college. So maybe it's not, but 16 pounds for a corner, that is a lot of weight.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, so if he, let's say he plays at 6 foot 195, and you look at Amanio at 6'1", 204 last year. I think it's the product of the weight program at Penn State, but also he's going to have a bigger role, and he's going to be going against some bigger receivers. And I think you want to be a little bit bigger so you don't kind of get almost around. Manhandled in reverse, because there's some big receivers at Ohio State, at Michigan State, and at Michigan.
One thing that always strikes me when we start seeing the roster is the true freshmen.
Yeah.
And seeing them for the first time under this kind of program. So I believe it was Keaton Ellis was up about 10 pounds. That looks like a guy who's getting primed to play.
Yeah, and Brandon also Brandon Smith. Yeah, he's up to 240 now. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4". So I don't think, you know, sometimes I know Ross is not a big fan of linebackers, especially inside linebackers, kind of bulking up. But I just think this is a kid that is still filling out. And I think if any one of those linebackers and young kids can handle 240, it's probably him.
The one that jumped out to me was Caden Wallace. He was listed at 288. Now he's 333.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Army Bowl, and he was like 293, the All-American Bowl. I don't get this. He looked lean. I thought he looked good. I thought he maybe looked a little skinny, and I could see him gaining 5 to 10 pounds. 40 pounds?
Maybe it was a misprint. Let's hope. Sometimes they do that stuff.
I want to see what he looks like, because that he was athletic. He had juice off the snap. 333.
I'm glad you mentioned his weight at the bowl game that you saw him, because I wasn't sure if it was an old thing that I got from 24/7. Anyway, that's it for quarter number one. Let's get to quarter number two right after this with Ross's scouting reports.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.